The theater. The theater.
Bring out Louis.
Theater. Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
What's up?
Hello.
We're back in action.
It's good to be back in this seat. It's good to see your face, Bailey.
Yeah,
it's always good to see your face, CJ, but I just saw your face. Yeah. And I haven't seen Bailey's face.
We're Looney Tunes back in action.
Yeah.
We're Looney Tunes back in action, and we're finishing. We just finished Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Fringe, the Hollywood Fringe.
Bollywood Fringe. Yeah. We stand.
Yeah.
We stand.
Oh, we do indeed. Well, yes, we do. But
we yeah. stand the concept, and we stand that we get to be such a big part of it. And we stand that people are coming together and celebrating Los Angeles theater, because that's kind of what we have always been about as a podcast. Is
yeah,
like
absolutely.
You can do theater anywhere. It doesn't have to be New York, you know, and LA is a big part of the scene. And so it's cool that there's such a cool, festival. And
well, you know how I feel about New York compared to Los Angeles when it comes to theater too.
Like, yeah, fuck New York.
I yelled at anybody that would listen to me about it during Fringe this year. Where it's happening. It's one of the places that it's happening, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we're here to talk about Fringe, and we'll dive into it a little bit. But we tend to have a little business before I intro the pod, and some things I was thinking we could discuss.
Yes.
One is the Tony Awards. Speaking of New York theater, did happen.
Yes.
Yes. CJ, a show that you live and die for.
Yeah.
Won some awards and was nominated for some stuff and had a great performance.
Well, and. They won for best choreography. Justin Peck won. I didn't expect
this
it to win.
Illinois.
Yes, Illinois. Yes. I didn't expect it to win best musical, but was excited to see what performance they would do. And the song that they picked, it's like half as long as what it is in the show, but it's my favorite song in the whole show.
Oh, right on, right on. And it was lovely. It was stunning.
And if anyone is interested in seeing another number from it, they were on Colbert. They were on his
show.
Yeah,
it was a great performance.
Jacksonville at that one, too. If anyone's interested in seeing some of the stuff, those are two places. But yeah, that number that was in the Tonys is the one that like I boohoo wept through the entire piece when I saw it in Chicago. So yay, I was just excited.
Yeah. And shout out to Shayna Taub, who won two Tonys for original score and book of a musical for Suffs.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews on Suffs, but people are loving it. Most of the mixed reviews are more political views on the centering of certain suffragettes and not others. But I also think it's supposed to be pretty incredible. And she just did a intensive with our high schoolers here for her 12th Night musical that she wrote. She came back and like did an intensive with our high schoolers at the theater that I'm working at right now in Vermont. So that was pretty cool.
Amazing.
And I got to post like a little shout out to
That's
her.
Very cool.
Yeah, very fun. And then shout out to Eddie Redmayne, someone we love on this podcast.
Oh my God. It was... Well, you know what got me about it is there seems to always be an apology for him in some way. And it was like, well, they were trying to do something really different with Cabaret. And I watched it and the performance. And I'm like, this is awful. I don't want to watch you. You're a model that somebody told you to be an actor. And is he the most untalented person ever? No, but there's something...
But he's
I
up
just
there.
See the lines.
I'm kidding.
I just see the lines, and I don't.
Yeah.
And you know, it was like with, you know, the I wanted to say the Sexy Beasts movie.
Fantastical Beasts.
Fantastical Beasts movies. It's like, well, he's playing a shy character. I'm like, I still have to understand the words that are coming out of his mouth and his pouty bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the discourse surrounding it right now is that most people, like I'm on theater TikTok, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I see a lot of people being like, you just don't get what he's doing.
No, you just don't get it.
And I'm like, I get it. I fully get it. I promise you I get it. But then the other side of it that I've seen that I think I would agree with, now I haven't seen the show, but I've seen a lot of clips, right? A lot of the other side of it is people saying, here's the problem. I get it. It's not just weird for weird's sake. Right. However, it's so Uncanny Valley-esque that there's never a moment where I feel welcomed. I never feel welcomed into their weird world. Mm-hmm. And part of the show is that you have to feel a bit uncomfortable at first by the sexiness and the burlesque aspect and this weirdness. And it's a bit out there and it's a bit corny, but then they invite you in and you start feeling like one of them and part of the show and part of them. And what I've heard from a few people is that they're like, I couldn't get on board. I was always uncomfortable with him and it never felt, I felt othered by him, which is the opposite of the point of the show.
Right.
So it's a really interesting thing. A lot of people are doing cabaret right now. We're doing cabaret right now at Northern Stage. It's our summer music theater intensive with the high schoolers. And so it's like, everyone feels the need to do it right now. It's very like, we're living in Nazi Germany and America.
Yeah, sure,
and I'm like,
sure,
we're
sure,
not.
Yeah.
We're not. Let's be really clear. But I get it. It's just everyone is feeling a bit of the need. Like Houston did one years back. Maybe it was 2020, right before COVID. And like some other ones that like feel the need to really put this obvious point on it where they like send gas into the audience. And they're like, ha-ha, we're in the gas chamber. And you're like,
oh,
stop.
Jesus.
We already get it.
Yeah.
We don't need this.
I think that part of the trap of that show is that you can't take it out of its time and place. Not really. Like the time and place is as important as anything else. And I've always found that the productions that I've really loved are the ones that either try to stick to the traditional concept that, you know, was laid out in the movie in the original production, but or that try to really, really ground it in that day, that space, that time,
and Weimar and era,
keep it, that Weimar era, and keep it it's real. Those are the ones that that I find the most effective. I think that it's a very tricky, very complicated show. And
it is, but it also kind of stands on its own.
You don't need to conceptualize it. You don't need to reinvent that wheel, you know. And some pieces just aren't made to do anything to do that for, you know.
Right.
Godot
right.
is another one. It's like you don't need to.
You don't need to conceptualize it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Exactly. Right. Anyway, the Tonys. We you know, another celebration of theater. It was fine. I kind of want to see the Outsiders musical. It is Adam Rapp wrote the book.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. We should cover Adam Rapp when we get back to playwrights.
I mean,
he just came up this weekend in a conversation. I'm like, I need to reread some stuff.
He's like what Neil LaBute wishes he was. Is that a hot take or is that real? Do we agree with that?
Well, what Neil LaBute, we're 10 years. We're almost a decade removed from since he's been canceled for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Well,
although rumor has it that
I'm gonna Neil LaBute.
Yeah. Right. Rumor has it he's a huge Hollywood script doctor who has worked on many, many big movies.
Oh yeah.
That we've all
seen. Oh, of course.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whatever.
Fuck that guy. One other thing I wanted to shout out. We've had a lot of celebrity deaths recently since the last time that we recorded, including yesterday, Robert Towne, which was big. We lost huge. Donald Sutherland.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge.
A week ago, I think it was, which is huge. Yeah. I've started watching a lot of his older stuff. Just a phenomenal actor.
Clue.
Yeah, I watched Clue. Scott Rules.
So right.
I should have texted you.
It rules. It still holds up. Just a great thriller and one of my favorite Jane Fonda's performances.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She's great.
We also lost someone I fucking love and have loved since childhood, mostly because he was in he was on the show Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and he was also in a this is embarrassing to admit. I think I still have the VHS tape, but I really loved Mary-Kate and Ashley when I was a kid. I'm their age. So
you're allowed.
Very... Yeah, totally, yeah.
So they had a movie called How the West Was Fun.
I remember that vaguely,
That's
yes.
That's kind of good. It's kind of good.
Straight and, to video, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And Martin Mull is kind of the bad guy in it. It's Martin
Is he
Mull.
The guy that played like the principal in Sabrina?
In Sabrina, yeah.
Okay,
and
okay,
ends
okay.
up like dating her aunt or marrying her aunt or something.
Right.
Yeah. And he and a ton of stuff. He's in the Clue movie. He's Colonel Mustard. I mean,
he's a great
just
character actor.
He was a
one
regular
of
in the
guys.
Christopher Guest stuff.
Yeah.
He also was on Roseanne. Like he was just,
of course, yes.
one of those
he was
journeyman
boss
actors.
At the cafe.
That's right.
He just worked. He never stopped working.
And I think he dates Jackie for a while.
Yeah.
Doesn't he come out at some point?
Oh, that's
Roseanne?
Right. Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, shit. I forgot. That's right.
And then, what was I just thinking of that he did that I love so much? He just so many. Arrested Development as the reoccurring private eye. Like he's just, hats off to a great, great, great career.
Yeah. And then the final thing before I introduce the podcast, this person did not pass away. This would be a much bigger deal if he had, but something did happen to Ian McKellen. Did y'all hear about
that? Yes. I've been kind of
awful. Yeah. He's all reports, he's doing fine. Right. I mean, like all accounts right now are like, he's doing all right. He's just old. But he was doing Player Kings on the West End and fell off the front of the stage during like a moment of physicality
like a fight or something.
It was stage combat or something, and he fell off the front of the stage into the audience. And seems to have, I think, hurt his knee. Is that correct?
Knee or
that sounds
hip?
Right. Yeah,
I
something
can't recall.
Like that. Yeah,
I read
yeah,
it.
Something.
Yeah.
But they're saying it's not. You know,
he's fine.
He's gonna walk. He's gonna be fine. But it's just it's scary.
I love Ian. He's officially left the show now, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Was what I read last. So. Yeah.
Well, and we need him to stick around because, by all accounts, he should be in the next Lord of the Rings that Andy Serkis is directing and Peter Jackson is producing. The Hunt for Gollum is very Gandalf-centric, and I would just hate to see somebody else play it.
Agreed. Yeah. And just a theater legend in general. Yeah. We covered him 2 episodes ago, and was it 3 episodes ago? Something like that. And just fucking, we stand.
Grandmaster.
We love you, Ian.
Yeah.
Grandmaster of the theater, which speaking of, welcome to Theater Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds made by 3 theater makers from the LA theater scene. One of us is in Vermont right now, and that's me. I'm Jay Bailey Burcham.
I'm CJ Merriman.
And I'm Scott Leggett.
Yes! And this season, each week, we get together to discuss and debate the intersection of theater and film.
Yes.
And this week is not that. This week is a bit of a bonus episode. We are discussing the past month of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Now, I will say, I was not there for this.
We missed you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I got to live stream a couple shows, and I read a lot of scripts for the Theater Theater Playwright Award, which we'll talk about in a second. But I did not get to be there physically, you know, like feel the energy and party with you all and hate myself every night when I go home at 3 a.m. And
I did plenty for you.
good. Yeah, so I want to hear about it. Talk to me about the vibes. Talk to me about how it was, and I will live vicariously and enviously through you.
Seed, you want to start?
Well, I mean, I'm just, I'm still recovering. I'm very tired. I saw 47 shows. I had my own show, Planet Earth Farewell Concert, which went great, except we were riddled with COVID. Fringe was riddled with COVID this year.
Sucks.
Did y'all know the new strain is called Flirt?
Flirt?
Aw.
Isn't it cute? It's what I got it back in May.
You were flirting.
I actually got it from a singing gig where all of us were sharing a bunch of mics. But
and
anyway,
flirting.
Yes, and flirting. It was a great year. I have a list of stuff that I really loved. I had a great time with my show. Some of my favorite shows were Pam's two shows. And then the other one was Type 5, of course. But yeah, I don't even know where to go with that. It was a great year. I had a great year this year, and I have plans to make next year better.
Oh, shit.
Scheduling wise, just so I don't kill myself those first couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, it was same. I beat CJ by one. I had 48, saw 48 shows.
Ooh.
I was working at the Broadwater, which has four theaters. I think we've mentioned that before on the pod. But we had 100 shows this year. Last year we had 80 shows. So it was this huge jump. And it was... I worked for 8 straight weeks, and so it was nuts, and produced 3 shows and directed one of them. So it was just emotionally exhausting, but also exhilarating in the people that we would meet. I want to give a shout out to Charlie Day, not that Charlie Day.
Charlie, he was wonderful.
Charlie from England, who came over to do an international show. It was a one-person show called Rock Bottom, where he played Bottom from Midsummer, kind of going through an existential crisis and kind of learning a little lesson about himself. But he was just charming as shit and was, you know, cheerleading people and seeing stuff. And, you know,
and
we
flirting.
Met and flirting, mm-hmm. and we met this group, one of our nominees, the Death of the Swan. They were a group from Arizona.
Tucson, right?
Yeah, from Tucson.
So
they were driving in every week, doing the show, then driving back to their day jobs, all kids in their 20s. But they were just lovely, and they were learning about Fringe and asking about it. And so in that sense, it was very cool. I think that my biggest criticisms of Fringe this year was one, I felt the domination of solo shows. Not disparaging that. I proudly produced one of the nominees for Best Solo Show, Type 5. Shout out to Sydney and Byron, who were amazing.
It was so good.
They were also just amazing sort of ambassadors and Fringe goers. But it was just they're everywhere. And on the flip side of that, some of the disappointing ones were the plays. The best drama category was weak this year. There was one of the nominees that shall go remain nameless that I just thought was one of the worst things I'd seen at Fringe ever. But they played the game. They got, you know, they had great postcards and they had a big cast and they were young, so they hustled up people, and so they got a nomination. Then my third criticism was Fringe Central. Bailey, I don't know if you know, but Fringe Central was up at Hollywood and Highland this year. Old storefront.
Yeah,
so far from
so the idea.
I was
of
there
even
once
just like,
to pick up my credentials, and that was it.
When it used to be over at Cole, kind of in between the Broadwater and the complex and all that, you could just walk over and meet people and have a drink. And here you had to make plans to get up there. You know, it was a good 35-minute walk from the Broadwater, which I did one time the day that it decided it was going to get hot and become summer, and it was 85 degrees, and I was just like, give me water. But other than those are minor things. Everybody was lovely. There were a couple reports of weirdness, but just little things, and a great celebration, like you said, Bailey. It was just everybody was kind of rooting for each other in really cool ways. So that was
fun. That's great.
I would say too, I just wanted to throw in there if I had any criticism of the stuff I saw, and I don't know if this is just a sign of like less of an attention span. A lot of stuff I saw, I walked out and I was like, that could have been 10 to 20 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, I don't know if that's a statement of like, I just want to go in and see 45 minute shows and that's it. But yeah, that was something that kind of kept being in the back of my mind.
Yeah, there are definitely some longer ones. The other thing that I encountered when CJ and I were out and about at some of these other locations, very poor use of space. Kind of a lot of attempts to fit a round peg into a square hole. Well, this is our show, and we're going to put it here no matter what. CJ and I saw one where both the house and the stage were bisected by sort of an alleyway. On stage was a quote-unquote river. But there was no... All the seats were flat. There was no platforms. So you're forced to sit on one side. So one side of the story, which was sort of the afterlife, and then the other side of the stage was real life. You couldn't see most of it because you were two or three rows back. And if there was one person taller than you, then you were screwed. So just some of that stuff, which I think comes just from younger people. And I'm going to stick to this concept no matter what. And it's like, well, sometimes you just need to adjust a bit when you have a different space than you originally thought you would.
Well, to kind of speak to that, and this is a bit shit talky, and it's what I do best on this podcast, so I'm going to stick with it. And I don't want anybody to take offense to this, but something I love and hate about Fringe is that it is kind of amateur hour in most cases. Mm-hmm. And I mean that sort of in an endearing way, because I think it's a lot of people being like, I could do a show, and Fringe is a great place to do that, right?
Right.
So it's very fun, but there's also this sort of, dare I say, arrogance behind some of it, that people are like, well, this is gonna change the world, and I'm right. like, it's not. And not
I've earned this 2-hour slot. Like, yes. I saw a 2-hour Fringe show this year.
No, two hours.
No.
Yeah, I remember two Fringes ago. When we first started the Playwright Award. I saw a couple that were 2 hours long. They were hard to watch, and they were, you know, and it's just like, you don't need to do it. I think Fringe, honestly, is a place for 45 minute and under shows. If you need to do your big musical and make it 90 minutes, sure. But as long as I'm going in knowing that it's a big musical and it's doing this on purpose, but like, I think, and to speak kind of to the solo show thing too, I think there's just this arrogance behind Fringe that doesn't need to be there. Mm-hmm. And it also makes it this annoying kind of competition in a way that I don't believe Fringe should be. Now, awards are great. And when people get to win awards and be nominated for awards, which we'll talk about ours in a second,
it feels good.
Great. Yeah. It feels good. But at the same time, like you said, Scott, like, anything can get nominated if you play the game, right? Anybody can.
And the way this Fringe is set up, yes, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Anybody can find their like be celebrity friend who's going to pull people and bring them in. Anybody can play the game, right? And if you do it, then you can win an award and feel really great about yourself for that week. And then what? It's because to me, Fringe is a stepping stone to real theater. So not to say Fringe isn't real theater, but it's a workshop space. It's a place to throw shit at the wall. It's a place to kind of figure something out. And then the question that has to be posed is, great, what are you going to do with it next?
Now what? Yeah.
Because I think a lot of Fringe people put up a show and then that show dies. And they what am I doing?
The majority. Absolutely. The majority.
Yeah. And I think that's unfortunate because it should be more than that. But I also think, like, we host an award. We're part of the problem. I'm kidding. We're part of the joy that is, you know, being awarded for your work. But I would like to think, here's a shit talk, I would like to think we really do focus in on the script. We let go of all the fringe bullshit, all the outside stuff, mm-hmm. and we look at a script and we say, great, does this have potential to be more than just a fringe show? Does this have potential to change somebody's mind? Does this have potential to be something I would go see again with a bigger budget, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. our award definitely focuses on, cool, what next, right? And it's why we give a full episode to our winner, because it's like, let's focus on you. Let's get your work out there because it's important. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I was really proud of our nominee list, because when you really compared cool it list. To everything else, I've got the list here if we want to read them off, but compared to other things that were nominated, whether they were the Freak Awards, which is when the whole community, everyone that went out to see shows votes on it, mm-hmm. or if they were a sponsored award, other than one of our pieces that we picked, they hadn't been nominated for anything else, which mm-hmm. was surprising to me in some cases.
But again, I think, and there was some discussion about this while choosing the nominations, is like, I think a lot of people go and they see a show and they go, well, that wasn't produced well, therefore all my opinions are negative. Mm-hmm. And we can mm-hmm. see a show that isn't well produced, that has maybe not used the space very well, has not cast people who are great on stage, like things like this. And we can still see it for what it is, because we do read the scripts and we, I hit my mic.
No.
So I'm very proud of it too, Siege.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that, one of the interesting discussions that we got into in terms of our award was, hey, read this, because I can't tell if this production elevated this particular script and it's not especially great, but that production and those actors were, or on the exact flip side, I think this might actually be a really good script and we saw something that was not sharp in its direction, didn't give it its due diligence, those were fascinating conversations for me,
I got to be sort of this blind judge. Yeah, I didn't see any of our nominees.
It was incredibly helpful, Bailey. Yeah, it really was incredibly helpful.
I just sat down and read them. I just said, "Cool, I'll read y'all's top 10 or whatever it was," and then I said, "Oh, okay. I like this one. I like this one. This one's mm-hmm. really great." And then you were able to be like, "Great. So it wasn't the production. It was a good show, or whatever it may be."
Sure, sure.
CJ, why don't you list off our noms followed by our winner? Yeah.
Okay. Our noms were Kate Dragone, who wrote Lines.
Yeah.
Elliot Evans and Soph Fuchs, Van Life.
Yes.
Edward G.
Van Life was awesome. I really loved that script.
Van Life got a lot of fringe love. Got a lot of fringe love.
Good show. Good show.
Edward G. Excalibur, 638, an uncommonly comical review of an accidental assassination attempt of Fidel Castro. Vincent X. Kirsch, Whim. Maddie Natoli, Death of the Swan, which Leggett was talking about that group earlier. And then Drew Petriello, Vote for Tom Ryan. Mm-hmm. And then our winner was Edward G. Excalibur, 638, an uncommonly comical review of an accidental assassination attempt of Fidel Castro. And I love cool that script. That was actually, I have to say, it was for me personally, probably in my top five of just shows I saw this year. Mm. But that was, I loved it. Well, yeah, and go ahead, Scott.
Oh, I was going to say, I liked the script and I very much liked the production of it as well.
When we were walking in, like that night, we had heard that Fidel Castro was actually being played by a puppet. And I immediately was like, oh, no. Oh, I don't know. And then it ended up being like
it worked really well.
Addition.
It was really great. The puppeteer was just, he was awesome too, because you could see his face. His face was exposed, but he was just in it. And then your energy eventually just goes to the puppet and you're just watching the puppet react.
It was a Muppet version of Fidel Castro. Yeah, like it was so good.
Yeah.
I really liked it. And then one of the guy that played the lead, like the narrator lead, who's so handsome, he came to see Planet Earth and I just barfed all over him about how much I loved their show.
Hot.
So, yeah.
to go to another one, The Death in the Swan was an interesting thing because CG and I went to see it at 10:30 at the Zephyr on Melrose. Mm-hmm.
And only thing I saw at the Zephyr this year.
And she and I were the only two people there. And it was just like, and lights up, and they didn't give a shit. They performed a very physical show. It was a movement piece in many ways.
About Anna Pavlova, the Russian ballerina.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And just the way that it unfolded, she was, the lead woman was insanely dynamic. She spent like a third of the show on point acting.
Yeah.
There was a viola player who was also part of the storytelling, and then, you know, the guy playing death. And it was just, and it was lovely. And it was 45 minutes. Like, it was, you were in, you were out, and you were like, wow, like, that was so dynamic. Why are we the only two people here? Which is, you know, another challenge of Fringe is just trying to break through the noise and get people to come, come outside of their bubble. You know,
it made me wonder too how the Tucson Fringe is run too. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just so much smaller
because they had won best movement and dance piece at the Tucson Fringe.
Yeah.
I read that in their bio.
Yeah.
Were they nominated for it? I think they were at the LA one too, weren't they?
They were nominated for Best Dance and Movement. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's cool.
I wish
I could have seen it because it was a really cool script, but it was, I could tell a lot of it was on stage.
Yeah, it was definitely, a mapping out, you know, but
cool.
For a physical piece, but yeah, really cool. Van Life was a really cool script, but I did not get to see the show. That was one really of the ones script. That I read while drinking at the Plunge late at night or in the office.
I did get to go see it. It was at Jack's Theatricals, and which has a new space now, unless I'm crazy and didn't realize their old one. But it wasn't even in their theater. It was in their back parking lot, and it was a beat up old van with tents on either side of it. It's a play it's a play about homelessness in Venice, California.
Wow.
So it was good. Really enjoyed it. And it was a completely different, you know, experience venue type of thing, which made it stick out too.
And it was Jax that produced it, or it was just at Jax?
Jax produced it.
Oh, did they?
Wow.
Yes, I believe so. I got the sense, like the one that we saw last year, Bailey, it was just part of their season.
It was just part of their season. They just made it part of Fringe. But that was... Sorry to anyone listening from Jax. I have to say, because I don't think I ever said it out loud last year, that was one of the... How do I say it? Can I say it? That was truly one of the hardest shows to sit through I've ever seen for a lot of reasons. And I was really... It made me sort of go like, okay, I guess that's what Jax produces, is stuff like that. And so it's good to hear that Van Life was there, because that was a cool piece.
It was a very cool piece.
Sorry, Jax.
Keep fighting the good fight, you guys.
Yeah.
But then to also just mention and talk about Lines, which was one of our other nominees that I got to see. A fantastic ensemble. Like a really, cool. I think they were all USC grads or kids. They were all in their 20s, maybe early 30s. Kids to us. But just when the talent is so evenly distributed amongst the actors, it just made it work and pop. And the play gets very meta, so the characters on stage break from being in character, and then our secondary characters, which are the actors. And there was one dude who played the troubled son coming back to see his dying mom in the hospital. And when he broke, he was this kind of asshole method Australian actor, but it was so but it was so subtle and so good. Like, hats off to the dude and to all of them. They all did a great job of really finding very grounded other characters where they could have broken out and really gone over the top, but it was just really well distributed performances in a really cool script.
Hell yeah. Wim was another one.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah. Wim is beautiful.
Yeah. Wim is just, it just was like, oh, somewhere between Molière and Ionesco is this sort of magical little thing about this little thing that happened in history. And it was cool, like, when you went in to see the show, like, you were handed kind of a scroll, a sort of old school, old timey piece of paper with the with your program on it, and it was simply, very simply done. Like, it was three actors and a trunk on stage. Give me that all day long.
Whim, and to be honest, 638 kind of reminded me of another thing that I feel like comes up in Fringe that I enjoy is just random little obscure things in history. Picking a one event and then doing, because Whim was about when Louis XVI picked a rooster, a duck, and a sheep and did a gravity experiment with them, put them in a basket in a hot air balloon, and then dropped the basket. And it's the main characters are the rooster, the duck, and the sheep. And it was just cute as hell. But it was also, like, funnily written and well performed too. So
yeah, for sure.
Is that all of our noms? Did we shout them all out?
Vote for Tom Ryan.
Tom Ryan, of course. Judges, Pam, loved that. She was this is the winner. I don't care what you have to say.
It was, well, what was great about it is that it was half an hour. It sucks you in, and then the twist on it is just great, and there was some profundity to it and some commentary, modern political commentary in it, and all in a nice 30-minute package. Like, you were in, you were out, and you had a good time. Like,
you
didn't bat an eye at it. It was good.
I tried really hard to read every single script before I saw the show, and that one I was laughing out loud while reading it, so I was excited to see it, and then I think for the most part they really pulled it off, so
yeah
it was delightful.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun reading the scripts. I wish I could have seen more, but I did get to live stream a couple things. I got to live stream the show that Scott directed, that Pam was in, that she also wrote, that I helped conceptualize.
Mm-hmm.
There's another universe where I was in LA and got to be in it, but Tyler Stillwell, is that their last name?
Yeah.
Was incredible. And it was, I can't wait to talk to y'all more about it when I'm there, which I'll be there in a couple weeks. Shout out.
Yeah! I can't wait.
July 22nd through 26th.
Can't wait.
Come kick it with me at the Broadwater Plunge. But it was such a good piece, and y'all totally pulled it off. It's such a difficult script. I don't say that to pat ourselves on the back. I just say that because it tonally is trying something really out there. And it totally worked, in my opinion. And that's partly, you know, Pam and Tyler, but also you, Scott, as a director. Like, you just nailed the pacing, you nailed the timing, the tone, and you used the space well. And it was just, it's a good fucking piece. So I'm glad it got a couple nominations. It got a world premiere, best world premiere nom, an outstanding two-hander nom. And just shout out to Pam, because what a fucking cool show. And she had a whole other show too that she
The other show was great too. Black Tie and a Pretty Dress was great. I loved it.
That I think in so many ways that embodies what Fringe should be about. I'm gonna do two shows. I'm gonna do this cool romantic comedy. It's got a nice edge to it and lovely performances. Yeah. And then I'm gonna try something really, really fucking difficult and hard.
That's saying something.
And saying something that's important to her. But it was a really wonderful experience for me as a director. Bailey, you know, I wish you would have been there, but Tyler and Pam they connected and worked their butts off. They just came in every day ready to work. And it's
the
makes
ultimate show. Yeah, it's the ultimate, this will have a life after Fringe show.
Hell
it's
yeah.
It's such an easy thing
Already working on it.
Good.
Needs to. Like, it needs to be done in a season. It needs to be taken to, like, colleges or something. Or, like, you know, like, big group meetings or something.
Yeah. Yes.
It needs something because it's we partnered with the Innocence Center of LA, and it's very much about you know, innocent people who are serving time, who are potentially headed to death row for something they did not do. And
right.
It's just, it's powerful and it fucking rules, and it needs a life afterward. Anyway, yeah.
Here.
Let's get out of here. Word. We said this was going to be a 20-minute episode. It's been like 4 hours. So I'm going to be there in a couple weeks. We're going to do a reading of one of my plays, which I'm excited about.
Which is lovely.
And it's a play I really pumped. Scott, I'm excited for you to read it. I think you're going to fucking dig it.
I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to sit down tomorrow and get it in early in the day.
It's,
yeah.
I think it's a pretty easy read. It's only ever two people in a scene, and it's just it goes pretty quick. But... it's called Paradox of the Heap.
It's a great title, too.
Thank you. And I also, we're seeing Twisters while I'm there.
40X! I can't wait.
40X, CJ's buying all of our concessions.
I will.
And our gummies.
I will gladly buy all of your, yes, I will.
I don't have A-list anymore. So if it's at an
oh,
AMC.
No.
It's going to have to be at a Regal. It's going to have to be at a Regal.
Well, there's what? No AMCs out
I can't
here.
Afford
the
no
AMC
Regal.
There's no Regal. In Boston.
Fine, I'll go by myself.
CJ, buy us all tickets.
Stop pouting. So you can buy us all Regal tickets.
I've only seen two movies in 40X, and they were Avatar, the original Avatar, which re-released.
Good one to do.
And Pam and I saw the original Poltergeist in 40X.
Oh my god, wow. That was fun.
Genuinely fun, but also hilarious at the things they would choose to, because it's not actually a big bombastic movie. So like somebody would like set down a Coke can and you get like a rumble in your seat. It was fun. But I wanted to shout out, because we're seeing Twisters, one of our nominees from 2 years ago, the first year we hosted an award, her name was Anya Rasic, and mm-hmm. she did a piece about Lord Byron that was phenomenal.
Right,
and
yes.
She ended
yes.
up actually directing with me at Shakespeare Youth Fest for a minute during the summer, and she's just been a great friend. I think she's currently back home, but she's about to come back to LA. And she has been posting a lot because the Twisters poster, where the three of them are like looking up and then the titles above them, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Daisy Edgar Jones, I think is her name. Daisy Edgar something. Jones sounds right. Is on the cover of it. But, and they do this all the time. I have a lot of friends who have done this before who are on covers of things. Anya is her body.
Oh, nice.
So her Daisy's face has been put onto Anya's body because they
That's
have very similar body types.
Spectacular.
It's amazing. So every time I see the poster, I'm like, Anya! Yeah. So we will go see it. Shout out to Anya. And then is there anything else? Is there anything LA specific or otherwise y'all wanted to shout out?
Other than talking about Annie Baker's movie.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. So Annie Baker has a brand new movie coming out. Annie Baker, the playwright, who we've covered on the podcast season 2 or 3, I can't remember, and wrote one of my favorite plays of all time, The Flick, and is...
Who used to write this podcast.
Was the writer of the first 2 seasons. Is that right?
I
or no.
Think so.
Was it Carol Churchill and then her, or was it
No,
her?
It was Annie
yeah,
Baker
Annie
first.
Was
she
Annie Baker
started
first.
The bit.
Yes.
The whole
yes.
thing was that she started a bit yes. and we were going to buy her a drink if she ever came in. So I think, just for the sake of it, she wrote this episode.
Okay.
yeah.
Because
okay,
she has a new movie coming out, and it's called Planet Janet or Janet Planet. I think it's Planet Janet. And it looks fucking great. And we're going to go see it. And that's all.
Yeah.
Amen.
Y'all want to spotlight some LA theater and otherwise?
There's not really anything. Oh, I'll give a shout out real quick and we'll shout it out later. But Iphigenia in Splot, which was
yeah.
a solo last show year. Last year at Fringe, is doing a full run in the Broadwater Black Box at the end
hey.
Of July.
Cool.
Haley, awesome. Haley McAfee, who also produced a couple shows this year and was a general bon vivant of Fringe and is a
and
cool
just
person.
An all-around dope
yeah,
person.
Dope,
yeah.
dope human being. So. But it's a tremendous one person performance. And I'm really excited to see it. And you didn't get to see it, did you, Siege?
That I just didn't have enough time to see it last year.
Yeah,
but now I have a chance.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll go. So Yeah, that's the only big shout out I have.
This show is surrounded by true events. Pam's show did win Best of Broadwater.
It did win Best of Broadwater,
yes.
It'll get a little extension, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, and I just real quick, I want to shout out What the Chuck. Bailey, I will send you the script for this. This show was right up your alley. It got nominated for Best Comedy. It was an indictment of fascism, also a little bit of indictment of theater fascism.
All right.
And it was a stunning fucking exercise in badassery, with the premise of it being that there's a federal department of theater that oversees theater, and they're all hardcore conservatives. And then they start doing Charles Mee was the focus of it. So they were doing Charles Mee plays and mostly his adaptations. And then they would play the scenes, but they would play them utterly sincerely. And so they would go back and forth Commedia to the Greeks to modern, and the cast was extraordinary. It was hilarious. And Will McFadden, big shout out, another person that I got to know during Fringe, who was just a great Fringe ambassador. So What the Chuck?
That's great. Cool. Any other shout outs from you, Siege?
No, I'm I don't know anything going on other than I'm filming a short film in August or September. That's it.
Great. Everyone go see CJ's short film. I am doing nothing. I'm sitting in Vermont running the marketing department at Northern Stage. Follow Northern Stage on Instagram. We have a pretty cool Instagram. I'm running it now.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's just, it's a really cool theater up here. And we cast mostly out of New York, sometimes out of LA. And it's a great regional theater. Y'all should audition. All the seasons are really great. We're doing King James this season, which is a fucking great script. We're doing a new play about AI, which is going to be fucking amazing. We're doing Waitress, we're doing Beauty and the Beast, and we're doing a brand new musical called The Vermont Farm Project, a farm to stage musical. So check us out. Thank you for joining us for Theater Theater. It's going to be awesome. Theater Theater, the fringe episode. Join us next week for, not next week, but probably in a few weeks, for Bathtubs over Broadway.
It's great.
We're going to cover, that's a CJ pick. We're covering the documentary Bathtubs Over Broadway, a phenomenal doc. If you haven't watched it, I believe it's on Netflix. Go check it out. After that, I would like to cover Synecdoche, New York.
Yeah.
The Charlie Kaufman, Philip Seymour Hoffman movie. And then after that, I think we should cover Planet Janet, because that's probably around when it will come out. And then we'll get a Scott's pick in there after that.
Yay.
I think I want to do the Sweeney Todd episode of The Office.
Ooh, fun.
Amazing.
And, yes.
Amazing.
Okay.
We're doing it.
All right.
A good app.
Do y'all...
And we can talk about Jersey Girl, the Kevin Smith movie with Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Where they do Sweeney Todd at the end, and it's really inappropriate. Yeah. Yeah, that's really fun. At the 10-year-old or the
10-year-old showcase.
Hey friends, y'all have questions or comments, you can reach out to us via email, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Scott,
or don't.
Thanks, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song and all of our stingers. And here's the truth: our stingers and our theme song are better than your fucking stingers and fucking theme songs. It sucks.
Betcha.
He's also an amazing human being. He was the musical director of the Planet Earth Farewell Concert at Fringe, and he was a great Fringe audience member. Finally, to our to the great, brilliant Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Annie Baker, who wrote this episode of our podcast. And one day, Annie Baker, we're going to buy you a beer.
It's true.
We stan a legend. Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help. It really does help.
It really does. Please.
I'm not going to read it on this episode because we've gone too long, but next episode, we've received some incredible Instagram messages from people who have been saying things of or related to, like, please put out more episodes. We miss you guys. I love listening to you. And I'm like,
nice. Cool,
write a review.
Please.
Besides that, we love you. Some of you have already, and we super appreciate it. We'll get back to you. Austin Almond, we love you.
We love Austin Almond.
And we will we'll get back to you. I have no song to sing, so CJ, bring us out.
You said it's over. Not everything lasts. Humans are mortal. That's just a fact. I'm totally not in bitter. I'm better than okay, but I'm leaving you something that won't go away. I'm giving you plastic to remember me by. You cannot trash it.
Don't trash it.
So don't even try.
Don't even
you
try
can
it.
Dig a hole and bury it for 10 million years, but baby, my plastic will still be here.
That's
Taylor
from,
Swift, everybody.
That's from, oh, okay. Yeah.
The theater, the theater.
Theater.